What we're gonna do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. Welcome to my neighborhood, the Avenue. I grew up here, and each week I'll be sharing the sounds and stories of the people that made the Avenue great. It was a Monday night on September 30th of 1935. The history of musical theater changed that night. That was the night George Gershwin premiered his folk opera, Porgy and Bess, at the Colonial Theater in Boston. Porgy and Bess was based on DuBose Hayward's 1925 novel, Porgy, the story of a disabled black beggar living in Charleston, South Carolina. The eyes of the entertainment world were fixed on Porgy and Bess in 1935, and the opera inspired both passionate criticism and praise. Some critics denounced the opera for reinforcing racist stereotypes about black culture. And over the years, opinions about Porgy and Bess have continued to be mixed. But one thing is for certain, the lives of the opera's cast members will forever be changed by the experience. Among the stars featured during the original run of Porgy and Bess were a pair of men with deep roots on Indiana Avenue. These two men were born just a year apart and spent much of their childhoods in Indianapolis, but aside from those similarities, they couldn't have been more different. John W. Bubbles was a streetwise song and dance man who became a star of the vaudeville stage as a young man on the Avenue. John Bubbles created the role of Sportin' Life in Porgy and Bess.
There's a boat that's leaving soon for New York. Come with me, that's where we
Todd Duncan was a classically trained vocalist who studied at Butler University and broke racial barriers in the world of opera. Todd Duncan was George Gershwin's original Porgy.
Bess, you is my woman now. Must laugh and sing and dance for two instead of one. Oh,
no. On this week's show, we'll take a closer look at the lives and music of John W. Bubbles and Todd Duncan. The first half hour of our show will focus on John W. Bubbles. Bubbles was born in Louisville, Kentucky in 1902, and he moved with his family to Indianapolis shortly after his birth. By the time he was 12 years old, Bubbles was a headline performer at Indiana Avenue venues like the Hoosier Theater. It was on the vaudeville stages of Indiana Avenue that Bubbles met his longtime partner, pianist Ford Lee Washington, better known as Buck. Together, they formed an act called Buck and Bubbles. Buck and Bubbles took the entertainment world by storm, starring on vaudeville stages around the country and eventually around the world. Today, John W. Bubbles is considered one of the most influential figures in the history of tap dance. His innovative moves influenced several generations of performers, from Fred Astaire to Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was so taken by Bubbles, he named his pet chimpanzee in the dancer's honor. Let's listen to an example of Buck and Bubbles' early work. This 1933 recording illustrates the mix of comedy and music that made them a smash hit. This is Buck and Bubbles with Long Gone from Bowling Green.
When I was born, you know, my father bet. He said, look here, Mom, to my mother. He said, that boy's going to be black as yet. My mother said, no, Dad, he'll be as white as a lamb. And when they looked at me, they say, I'll be damned. I'm long gone from old Kentucky. I'm long gone, but I really am lucky. I'm long gone, and what I mean, I'm long gone, Johnny, heading from Bowling Green, cause I'm long gone from old Kentucky. I'm long gone, ain't I lucky? I'm gone, oh yes, I'm gone. I'm long gone, Johnny, from Bowling Green.
That was the Indiana Avenue vaudeville duo of Buck and Bubbles performing Long Gone from Bowling Green. Let's listen to two more classic recordings featuring Buck and Bubbles. From 1936, we'll hear I Ain't Got Nobody and Breakfast in Harlem.
I had a loving gal, as good as any gal in town, but now she's gone and left me. She's done turned me down, cause I ain't got nobody, and there's nobody cares for me. I'm so sad and lonely. Won't somebody come and take a chance with me? I sing love songs all the time. If she'll come and be a sweet baby mine.
In Harlem, most of the smart set, when they get their heart set on going low down.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. On this week's show, we're looking back at the lives and music of John W. Bubbles and Todd Duncan. Both singers had deep roots in the Indiana Avenue scene, and both were featured in the original cast of Parkey and Bess. We just heard Breakfast in Harlem, recorded by Buck and Bubbles in 1936. By the mid-1930s, Buck and Bubbles were major stars of the vaudeville entertainment world, due in large part to John W. Bubbles' larger-than-life personality and show-stopping dance moves. In 1935, Bubbles received the biggest break in his career when George Gershwin cast him as the slick dope dealer sporting life in Parkey and Bess. There was a hitch, though. Bubbles couldn't read music, and Gershwin had to teach Bubbles the part personally. John W. Bubbles recalled his private lessons with Gershwin during a 1961 interview with the American Musical Theater television program. Bubbles also recalled that he nearly ruined the opening night performance of Porgy and Bess.
It must have been 1935, John, when at the Alvin Theater in New York, you created the role of Sport and Life in Porgy and Bess.
Oh, yeah.
Now, why were you selected for that role of Sport and Life?
I don't know why I was selected for it. And somehow I didn't think I felt, you know, the part was for me. But I found out later it was, because Gershwin took me over to his house and taught me note for note each song.
Well, had he seen you perform in
someplace? He must have someplace. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think he saw me at the Grumman's Chinese Theater with Buck and I.
Yes.
During the Gene Hollow days.
This was out in Hollywood.
That's in Hollywood, yeah. That was good days, too.
And then when he was writing Porgy and Bess, and the role of Sport and Life was there, he said, John W. Bubbles, huh?
Yeah. Yes, I was very happy about it after I thought it over. You know, it took time to get yourself into that part.
Now, this was a new experience for John, remember, because... All right, Vic?
Well, I was wondering, what type of a person is George Gershwin like to work with?
Oh, well, it's the type you are to work with him. It ain't the type he is, because he's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great fella, great, had a lot of tolerance, and it was very congenial, you know?
I think the point here we have to stress to show you how great Gershwin was in working with people, especially John, was this was the first time that John was portraying another character. He had to memorize lines. He was portraying this character where normally he was himself on stage.
That's right.
That's right.
Couldn't read music.
You know? Couldn't read music either.
No, that's why he had to teach me.
I see.
Yeah, it was very nice, too.
Well, Ruben Mamoulian was the director.
Oh, yes.
Was he as patient? Was Alexander Smallings?
No, Ruben Mamoulian was the stage director.
Yes, that's
and
right.
Alexander Smallings was the musical director.
Yes.
That's right.
Now, did they help you as much as George did? Were they patient with, you know, your struggles?
Well, they worked right along with George.
They did.
Everything George said they would do for me. Yes.
Well, how did you feel then, John? Here was opening night. This was really a new medium for you in which you were working.
Yes.
It was opera.
Yes, indeed.
What was going through your mind? What were your
emotions? Everything was going through my mind. And nothing was coming out. So it was a wonderful time, though. That song there that we sang, that I'll never forget that. The boat song. Yeah, the boat song. Yeah.
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Is it one of your favorites, you know? I'll never forget, on that opening night, it seemed like I was closing on that night we opened, you know?
Why?
Because something very serious happened, you know? And the part there where the policeman come in to take Porgy out to make him look on Crown's face because Porgy killed Crown, you know? And Bess goes out behind the officer and Porgy, and she can't go no further than the gate. When she turns around to come back in the gate, she's supposed to find me sitting on a keg. And she's saying, the opera's going on, you know, don't stop. She's singing... Sporting Life, they're gonna make him look on Crown's face. Then I say, they're gonna lock him up in jail. And she says, lock him up, Sporting Life, not for long. I say, not for long, maybe 1 year, maybe 2 years, maybe. Just like I told you, ain't nobody home now but Bess and old Sporting Life. And that's where the climax was. All of that part I was missing.
What happened? What do you mean?
I was up in the dressing room. Yeah.
You mean what the assistant stage manager didn't say, John, places, please?
No. I was up in the room when the strawberry girl, that was Helen Dowdy, she sang the strawberries, so she came upstairs and she saw my door open. She said, Sporting Life. I said, yeah. She said, you're on. Man, I came out, grabbed my hat, my coat, I jumped down 4 flights of stairs. When I hit the stage, I heard the music, and I knew they had passed where I was to be. And I listened again, and I dashed on the stage, man, and I just had time enough to read the lines. You know, you're not supposed to talk, you're supposed to sing.
Yes.
But I had to talk this time. And I said, they're going to lock him up in jail, maybe 1 year, maybe two, just like I told you, ain't nobody know that bird bath, and old Sporting Life.
And this was leading into the boat song.
This was leading into the boat song, yeah.
And did you begin the boat song in time?
Did I begin it in time? I should say I did.
Oh. John, will you do that for us now?
Would you like to do that?
Yes, we will. You get set up for it here because I want to show the workshop.
Up next, we'll listen to two vintage recordings of John W. Bubbles performing music from Porgy and Bess. From 1963, this is John W. Bubbles with There's a Boat That's Leaving Soon for New York, and it ain't necessarily so.
There's a boat that's leaving soon for New York. Come with me, that's where we belong, sister. That's where we belong. Come on, Bess.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the echoes of Indiana Avenue. We just heard John W. Bubbles performing music from Gershwin's Porgy and Bess. Bubbles was handpicked by Gershwin to portray the character Sporting Life in the original cast of Porgy and Bess. Bubbles had come a long way from Indiana Avenue's Hoosier Theater to the greatest stages of the entertainment world. John W. Bubbles died in 1986. He was 84 years old. Let's end this salute to Bubbles with his 1964 recording, Back Home Again in Indiana.
I have always been a wanderer over land and sea. Yet the moonbeams on the waters cast a spell over me. A vision fair I see, back home I long to be.
Back home again.
Back home again.
In Indiana.
And it seems that I can see the shining bright through the sycamores for me. The new mown hay sends all its fragrance from.
Echoes of Indiana Avenue will return after this short break. This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the echoes of Indiana Avenue. On this week's show, we're looking back at the lives and music of John W. Bubbles and Todd Duncan. Both singers had deep roots in the Indiana Avenue scene, and both were featured in the original cast of Porgy and Bess. During the first half of this week's show, we focused on the vaudeville star John W. Bubbles, who portrayed Sporting Life in Porgy and Bess. For the remainder of the show, we'll focus on Todd Duncan, a classically trained vocalist who was handpicked by George Gershwin to portray the role of Porgy. Todd Duncan was born in Danville, Kentucky in 1903. He moved with his family to Indianapolis at age 4. His mother was a piano teacher, and the Duncan home was filled with music. Duncan's music career had deep roots in Indianapolis. He studied English at Butler University and music at the Indiana College of Music and Fine Arts, known today as the Jordan College of Arts. Duncan was also the choir director at St. John's Baptist Church in the Avenue neighborhood. After leaving Indianapolis, Duncan eventually took a faculty position at Howard University in 1930. While teaching at Howard, Duncan also continued to pursue his career as a classical music vocalist. But as a black man, he faced many racial barriers in the world of classical music. Let's listen to an example of Duncan's work as a classical vocalist. From 1954, this is Todd Duncan singing Dance Macabre, by Camille Saint-Saëns.
Zig, 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 chacun se tremouse, on a pas plaqué les os des danseurs. En que vous placez, ça soit sous la mousse, comme à vous goûter dans si un douceur. Zigzag, l'amour continue de racler sans fin son aigre instrument. Envoie les tombées, la danse est nue, elles sont dans sa lacère amoureusement.
In addition to his interest in classical music, spiritual music was critically important to Todd Duncan. In 1957, Duncan recorded a full album of spirituals for the Allegro label. We'll hear two songs from that album next. I'm Going to Tell God All My Troubles, followed by Didn't My Lord Deliver Daniel.
I'm gonna tell God all of my troubles when I get home. I'm gonna tell God all of my troubles when I get home. Tell God all of my troubles. Tell Him all of my troubles. I'm gonna tell God all of my troubles when I get home. Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel, didn't my Lord deliver Daniel, and why not every man? He delivered Daniel from the lion's den, Jonah from the belly of the whale, and the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace, and why not every man? Didn't my Lord deliver...
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. We just heard two selections from vocalist Todd Duncan. On this week's show, we're looking back at the lives and music of John W. Bubbles and Todd Duncan. Both singers had deep roots in the Indiana Avenue scene, and both were featured in the original cast of George Gershwin's Porgy and Bess. By the 1930s, Todd Duncan had attracted serious attention for his work in classical music. And when George Gershwin began finalizing his plans for Porgy and Bess, he was urged to contact Todd Duncan. In this clip from the 1987 documentary, George Gershwin Remembered, Duncan recalled going to Gershwin's home for an audition. Duncan impressed Gershwin, and he was offered the role of Porgy right on the spot.
Bess, you is my woman now. You is. And you must laugh and sing and dance for two instead of one.
I had an appointment to sing for him. To my surprise, got off the elevator, he opened the door, and it was he. In an all-white uniform, white clothes. And I said, I'm Todd Duncan, and he said, I'm George Gershwin. It was on that day that after I sang just a part of an old Italian song, aria, just part of it, he looked up and he said, will you be my Porgy?
He didn't accept Gershwin's offer right away. Duncan was concerned about his reputation as a vocalist of fine art music and wanted to hear Gershwin's music before committing to the role. Here's another clip of Duncan from George Gershwin Remembered. He recalled the first time he heard Gershwin's score of Porgy and Bess.
I first heard it from George Gershwin's fingers and his own voice. The very beginning of it sounded, so foreign to me. And I felt that it sounded like chopsticks. But very soon, it segued into something that was so beautiful and something that it will never die. It went immediately into summertime, and I thought that I was in heaven.
Duncan accepted the role of Porgy, securing a place of notoriety in the history of American music. Unfortunately, there is no original cast recording of the first Porgy and Bess crew, but there is a 1935 tape of Gershwin rehearsing the score with Duncan and other members of the original cast. Let's listen. This is Todd Duncan and Anne Brown singing Bess, You Is My Woman Now.
And now we'll have the duet from the first scene of Act Two of Porgy, sung by Todd Duncan and Bess, who's played by Anne Brown.
Was Todd Duncan and Anne Brown, the original Porgy and Bess, singing Bess, You Is My Woman Now. After a successful run on Broadway in 1935, a national tour of Porgy and Bess was arranged for 1936. But touring wasn't easy for the all-black cast in Jim Crow America. When Todd Duncan learned that blacks wouldn't be permitted to attend the performance at Washington, D.C.'s National Theater, he protested. Duncan recalled the incident during an interview for the Capitol Edition television program during the 1980s.
I just made a moral commitment and said, I will not sing at that National Theater if my friends and my peers can't come. It was simple as that. I couldn't negotiate or anything, my soul. And so I got in a great deal of trouble with my own union and with my own board and with my own producers. I became a rebel, you know, a rebel Negro, because I wouldn't appear.
Duncan eventually prevailed, and an integrated audience was able to enjoy Porgy and Bess at the National Theater. Up next, we'll hear one of Duncan's signature songs from Porgy and Bess, I've Got Plenty of Nothing.
Now I got no lock on my door, that's no way to be. They can steal the rug from the floor, that's okay with me, cause the things that I prize, like the stars in the skies, all are free. Oh, I've got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. I got my gal, I got my song, I got a hymn the whole day long. Oh, there's no use complaining, I got my gal.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. That was Todd Duncan performing I've Got Plenty of Nothing from Porgy and Bess. Duncan's starring role in Porgy and Bess brought great fame and notoriety, but Duncan stayed true to his roots, making several appearances on Indiana Avenue in the years following Porgy and Bess. One of Duncan's biggest roles after Porgy and Bess was his performance as Father Stephen Camallo in Kurt Vile's 1949 Broadway musical, Lost in the Stars. From 1949, this is Todd Duncan with Lost in the Stars.
Who do you write to, Uncle Stephen?
To the mother at home. Oh, God.
can I say this to the mother, O Tico, that I cannot bring him home, that he will perhaps never, never come home?
But Uncle Stephen, you are an Infundis, and you can ask God to help you, and he will surely help you.
I don't know, Alex.
Little stars, big stars, blowing through the night.
And we're lost
out here in the stars.
After achieving success in both opera and Broadway, Todd Duncan ventured west to try his luck in Hollywood. While his work in the film industry is largely unremarkable, his appearance in the 1955 film Unchained did yield a notable moment. The film featured Duncan performing the first recorded version of Unchained Melody, later made famous by the Righteous Brothers in 1965. Todd Duncan died in Washington, D.C. in 1998. He was 95 years old. We'll end this salute to Todd Duncan with his 1955 version of Unchained Melody.
Oh, my Lord. Darling, I've hungered for your touch, alone, lonely time. Time goes by so slowly, and time can do so much. Are you still mine?
Thanks for joining us for this tribute to John W. Bubbles and Todd Duncan, original cast members of George Gershwin's Porgy and Bess. You can meet me here on the Avenue again next week, same time, same place. Echoes of Indiana Avenue is written and produced by Kyle Long and hosted and co-produced by me, Herman Butch Slaughter. Thanks for listening.
Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do.